Good morning, Zion. Thank you again, Stephen and Rory. We appreciate that. Might actually use that later on in December for another event I'm doing. It's very timely. You know, just hold on a second. You know, I'm all by myself now, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit that we saw last week, love. It's pretty easy to love when you're all by yourself, just kind of feeling the love of God. Love and joy. Yeah, joy. You know, there's no one taking my joy away, no one driving too slow, annoying me. It's easy to be joyful, right? In times like this, joy, love, joy, peace. Oh my goodness, it's so nice just to enjoy peace with God. And that's it. Love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, how easy it is to be patient when we're all alone and isolated, isn't it? Love, peace, patience, kindness. I like God's kindness. I love it when he's kind to me, but boy, that's something else to be kind to someone who's kind of a jerk. You see, these fruits are not made to be alone, are they? They're internal, for sure. Internal changes, but really they have to have an outward expression that naturally comes from it. From the Holy Spirit. Not alone. We're not called to be, we're not called to have a faith that is just living out on a mountaintop somewhere like a hermit. But those fruits should come out. So I'll come back. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul's going to go in, we're going to be in chapter 6 now of Galatians, but he gave that command, but now walk by the Spirit. That's from Galatians 5:16, but these commands are not just random. They're coming, they're going to flow from that fruit of the Spirit. They're examples of how the fruit of the Spirit affects communities, both in a church, both in a community at large, in our families, in our marriages, is with parents and siblings, all those things, these are all going to relate back to the fruit, all right? So in your notes, the first thing, though, he tells us is kind of harsh. He says we have to confront sin. In Galatians 6:1-3, he says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Ooh, well, there it is. Remember, one of the fruits, gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So he's also kind of in teaching something here. The command was to walk in the Spirit, but guess what? And I know you've all experienced this. Even people who walk in the Spirit can sin sometimes. Never know. Sometimes it comes up behind us and we're not expecting it. In fact, this word caught, if anyone is caught in any transgression, it has the idea of being overtaken, kind of surprised. You didn't see this coming, or a sudden impulse. It could happen through neglect or just lack of vigilance. And so all of a sudden, boom, there you are. You're not walking with the Lord. You've sinned. Either in your heart or outwardly, there it is. And this command is for those who are spiritual. Well, that sounds like we got to kind of pat ourselves on the back. You really spiritual people. But remember, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He's using the same expression. Really, those who are spiritual are those who are walking with the Spirit. It's not that, only the extra mature can do this. If you're walking in the Spirit, you can talk to your brother or sister about a particular thing in their life. To what purpose? To restore. That word restore, as to restore someone to with a spirit of gentleness, is the idea of creating or mending, put in order, put in its original condition. It literally means, and used to express mending of nets or setting of bones, to restore them back. In fact, Matthew used this word in Matthew 4:21, and going on from there, he, that is Jesus, saw two other brothers mending their nets, bringing back to wholeness. So we are called as brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're walking in the Spirit, there might be times we got to have those harder conversations with brothers and sisters to talk about something in their life. It's done in a spirit of love and gentleness. If you're someone who likes to be the local cop in a church, this is not your job. And I would even add to that, if I could, humility. Because any one of us can find ourselves in that situation where we might need a little correction. Some of the key points in my times in my Christian life was when someone loved me enough to correct me. And when I was stubborn, they got a little more firmer, maybe not as loving and gentle as I would have liked. But their hearts were of, you need to fix this. This is not the best thing for you. Paul talks about this in other places, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. But he has a warning here. He says, look, watch out. Watch out for yourself when you do this, because you can get drawn in and sucked into your own sin, your own issues. Don't be arrogant. We deal with brothers and sisters in these times with humility and sympathy. Consider our own weakness, that we too have to avoid conceit. While their weakness might not be your weakness, and you might think, how could they do that? Well, maybe you could still fall in yours as well. And it has this additional commands where he says, bear one another's burdens. Sometimes this is hard because we think, well, they made their bed, they're going to sleep in it. But Paul doesn't give us any excuses to not help bear burdens. Maybe their sin has caused some problems, some heartache, some told you so kind of moments, but maybe they just found themselves there by accident. To bear, that idea is to endure or carry or support. And he says a very interesting statement in that verse. He said, by doing that, we fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what's that, Paul? I'm going to take a shot. I think it refers to John chapter 13, where Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. When we're willing to have those tough conversations with folks, with gentleness, with humility, with peace in our hearts, for their sake and for their good, that's an act of love. We're fulfilling that. Believers are to extend love and kindness. And then he goes on and says, don't think you're someone. Don't think you are the personal Holy Spirit of a particular church group. We already have a Holy Spirit. We don't need any others, right? So, but we also are part of a group and a team where we have to be part of that togetherness. There it is. Talk to people. Be willing to be involved with each other's lives. That's what the fruit of the Spirit has a very strong implication of. Well, there's more things. There's more commands from this fruit. And this, and the next one there in verses 4 and 5, test yourselves. Test yourself. But each one of you test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor, for each of you will have to bear his own load. What's he mean there? The idea of personal, regular examination of how we are doing before the Lord is healthy. It's right. One of the purposes of the Lord's table, and I try to bring this out every month when we celebrate the Lord's table together, is to take that time, take that moment to examine ourselves. God, is there anything I've been unaware of? Do I have a blind spot? Do I need to correct something with you? Have I sinned and I've been trying to get away with it with you, which you can't, but I want to admit it. The Lord's table is a healthy time to do that. You can do it anytime, but that's a healthy time to do that. We can bring glory to what God has done in our lives. That's the fruit of self-control, of evenness. And then, but Paul here says something, and I don't know if you caught this when we read it just a moment ago in verse 5. He said to bear your own load. Now, if your memory's pretty good, you're thinking, wait a minute, didn't you just read a few verses ago to bear one another's burdens? Yes, I did. So how does that work together, that we bear each other's burdens, but we're to bear our own load too? Well, first of all, the word for burden is different. In verse 2, it's the word baros, which is a weight, a burden, or a temptation. The word here in verse 5 is fortion. It means to carry a pack like a soldier does, a regular daily burden. So how is this reconciled? Well, it's a man or woman knows they have a burden of their own. When we know that life is hard, then we have some sympathy and we're able and willing to help others too. So it's not an or thing. I guess it's a and thing, where we bear our own burdens, but we're also willing to help others. There's a balance. There's something between individual responsibility and then the community support. We do our best. We do our best to support and help ourselves, but be ready to help and also receive help. We as Americans tend to be a little arrogant when it comes to receiving help. I've noticed it time and again. Boy, if someone has an emergency in their household, in their home, maybe they had a fire, maybe someone was really sick, and they don't say anything. They don't want anyone to know. Or maybe just a few close friends, and then someone says, let's have a spaghetti feed. Let's do baskets and all this. And the whole community, whoosh, rushes in and helps. But that person never asks for help. It's an idea of humility, saying we need each other to bear one another's burdens. I hope you feel free to do that. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to stand up here and to give your whole thing to everybody. But I hope that each one of you have at least a group of people around that you could say, you know, I need to share this burden with you. It's hard. It's tough. Will you help me bear it? Well, there's more. There's more commands based on this fruit of the Spirit. This one's pretty quick. Verse 6, support teachers. Let the one who is taught the word, who is taught the word, share all good things with the one who teaches. Again, there's that fruit of love. Share, contribute, communicate, even make financial contributions. Paul talks about this as well in 1 Timothy 5:17, talking about supporting financially the teaching elders, people who do this for their job. And this may have been significant in this context because if you've been with us this whole time, that there were false teachers running around. Well, Paul's saying, look, for those teachers that are teaching the truth, you need to make sure you're supporting them. So let me just say, because guess what? I get a check from Zion every week. And guess where that comes from? Y'all. Thank you. Thank you. It is a joy to get my income, to get my wages from the church. From the church. And I hope you like what you're getting, what you pay for. It's not just my wages, right? There's other expenses we have. But it is right and appropriate to do that. Okay, next command. Let's move on. I told you that one will be short. This has the idea, it's not so much a command as a warning, but it is still from the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, he's going to talk about sowing and reaping. That sounds like a fruity kind of thing, right? Reap what you sow. That's your in your blanks there. Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. So it starts right off with a warning. Don't be deceived. In other words, look, pay attention. If I lost you there a little bit, come back. Make no mistake. While in, again, in the whole context of this book, he's saying, while we don't have to be followers of the law, we still have accountability to God. That's still there, even more so in the New Testament sense. Greater, it's a greater measure. Last week we mentioned how Jesus pointed this out in the Sermon on the Mount, where he used that formula, you've heard it was said, but I say to you. And the standard that Jesus set was a lot higher because it's that internal standard. It's one thing to say I never killed anyone, but that you never thought about someone wishing death on someone. Same thing. Much higher standard, isn't it? And so in the same way, he says, look, God's not mocked. God saw you. He saw. He knows. One of my friends on his computer has a little sticker of just to help his own walk and what he's clicking on. It's a little sticker of Jesus, and it has a little, one of those little cloud, those, what do you call those things? Thought bubble. Or, yeah, but it's Jesus saying, I saw that. Same, but see, you can't mock God. He knows. The one who walks in the Spirit obeys from the heart. And the consequences will show that God is not fooled. Now, don't misunderstand. Some people take this verse out of context and use it to proclaim something normally called prosperity gospel. Hey, if you, for example, give a lot of money to their cause, if you sow that, you'll get a lot of money back. That's not what Paul's saying here. I'm just warning you that people talk like that. Remember the whole context of the book. He's talking about sowing and reaping. Sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. If you've been here, you should go, hey, didn't we have a whole sermon on the Spirit and the flesh? Yes, we did. It's in chapter 5. He's talking about the same stuff here. So he's saying, if you walk in the Spirit, you're sowing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. If you sow the deeds of the flesh in your life, that remember that really nasty list of stuff from chapter 5? If you sow that in your life, then guess what you're going to reap in your life? Now, the way he writes this, it doesn't come out that well in English. He's talking about habitual issues, not that once in a while thing, or maybe even that thing that you time to time stumble over. But he's talking about a habitual lifestyle. God is not mocked. He's not fooled. That idea of mocking is the idea of turning up the nose with this cynicalness. Oh, he doesn't see. Oh, he doesn't get it. Yes, he does see. Proverbs 22:8 says, whoever sows, this is an example, whoever sows injustice will reap calamity and the rod of his fury will fail. So what do you want in your life? What do I want in my life? Well, if I want more of that fruit of the Spirit, then I need to sow that fruit. If I sow the deeds of the flesh, then I'm going to reap those deeds of the flesh. One commentary said, the heart of a man resembles a field which he sows. So do you sow the flesh? This is your next blank. Go back over. Go look over chapter 5 in Galatians. Those are terrible things. They're very self-centered things. They're hurtful things. They're not fun things. They might seem like fun to some people, but they're not. They're things that will bring destruction. We have such a dumb idea of sin sometimes. We think God is just out to cut our fun out of our lives. He's trying to help us to avoid these things. Sin is always harmful. Sin always does that. Sin always hurts in some way. All of those things, those deeds of the flesh, are from selfish desire. And some people even become addicted in a sense, sometimes physically addicted or addicted in their own heart. Tyndale said we must reap the wild oats which we sow. So what does this look like? Now, one of those deeds of the flesh was enmity or strife. They're very similar ideas. So if I cause enmity or strife with another person or persons, that's going to become harvested in my life. That you may know a person or a family relative where they're just always boogers. And their life, they're never happy. They've been sowing this enmity and strife, and that's what they get back. We use the expression, what goes around comes around. What you plant, that's what you're going to grow. And we have to be careful what we're growing. You know, we see these, this is a Western Pennsylvania thing. I don't know if you know this. But you ever see these signs on the side of the road that say it's free fill wanted? You seen those? Yeah, there's nowhere else in the country that does that. I think it's the only place I've ever seen those signs is in Western Pennsylvania. And, you know, when they go through and they clean the berms off and everything, you know, late summer, and they got all this dirt and everything, and they find these yards for people who want free fill, and they dump it. What's in that? Who knows? Right? I know, I think in my house, they've kind of leveled our area out. I'm distracted. Remember how Alka-Seltzer used to come in those glass tubes? I found one of those. It was in the free fill. You never know what's there. You're so impressed. But in there's seeds. And you planted it. And maybe you're not even aware of it, of what's going to grow there, unless we're vigilant to see, you know, what weed, what plant is going to grow from that. Think of this terms now in our own life. What we sow, if you sow this unknown dirt, you don't know where it came from, you're going to grow something you might not want. It's just a spiritual principle. It's not a principle, as I said, of prosperity gospel. We harvest the seeds we plant. The harvest cannot be spiritual or spiritual or emotional. It can be a physical harvest too. But what's the opposite? Paul's very clear in that passage. But what about sowing to the Spirit? Oh, now we're talking. What a huge contrast. Again, it's a habitual idea. And we can't think in terms of, well, I was loving, someone better be loving to me back. You know, don't think that way. But if you sow love, if you sow peace, if you sow gentleness, if you sow self-control, that's going to come back to you in some way. What kind of seeds do you want to plant? Boy, you look at that. You look at the fruit of the Spirit and you think, I want that stuff. Then plant it. Then plant it. Sow it. And those things will come back. The choice of what we plant is ours, but not the harvest. What we plant is our choice, but you're going to get what you plant. That's what that verse says. And said, that sounds awful dogmatic. I'm sorry, folks. I mean, what you sow, you reap. I don't know how to smooth that out for us, and maybe we shouldn't smooth it out like we should. The next part, Paul goes on with this because it can get hard. He's still in the same discussion about sowing and reaping. He says, don't grow weary of doing good. So when we are busy sowing this fruit of the Spirit, sowing, sometimes we think, man, when's the harvest coming? When is that going to come? Is it ever going to, are we ever going to get that harvest? Well, Paul understands that. He says, don't tire of doing that good. Don't lose heart. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Don't quit waiting on the harvest. The promise will be fulfilled. The due days of harvest will come. Sometimes we don't notice it. Sometimes it's really slow. I should have asked her permission to do this, but I forgot until this morning. Remember our friend Mary Lee? Mary Lee is living in Florida now, and she was part of the first meeting here in this building. I have a picture of Mary Lee hauling out the threadbare carpet that was in this room. And she was part of Zion. Well, she moved to Florida. And she was here a few months ago, and she wrote me a letter about you folks. Wow. Wow, did she say, I'm just so excited to see what the Lord has done in your midst. She said, there is a different feeling. There's a different spirit. Not that it was bad before. See, that's harvest. We've been kind of going along our merry way, trying to follow the Lord as best as we can, and we don't notice that inside change. Well, Mary Lee hasn't been here for a while, and then she sees it and just says, wow, look at the Holy Spirit that's been in you. By the way, we're not done, so don't get comfy here. That's what Paul's saying. Sometimes you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, I used to be so impatient in this situation. Now I was patient. Now I was so critical of people and not very loving to them. Now I'm find myself in a ministry helping people I used to be critical of, and I'm giving and loving instead of critical. There's due season. Continue to do good, Paul says. That's the next blank. Specifically, continue to do good to all, especially, he says, in the household of God. We belong to one another, though, again, it kind of smacks against our individualism to remain devoted again. And there it is. There's more of that fruit of the Spirit. All those things are they mean more in a group of people. We have to have an object of our love. We have to have people with whom we're patient. We have to have someone with whom we are gentle. We have to have someone to whom we are kind. You can't just sit there in a blank room off in a closet somewhere. Okay, I'm being kind now. It's in a group, right? And that applies to everyone in our life. We have radical instructions on how to treat people. Jesus said this as an example. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Mouths were dropping then. What are you talking about, Jesus? So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, because God loves his enemies. The worst of sinners he loves. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, remember all that fruit of the Spirit. Are not just nice things that God likes. God personifies each one of those things. They are his very personality. in, by the way, infinite form. God is infinitely loving, infinitely patient, infinitely just. He is infinitely gentle. And he's always in perfect communion with himself. But there's one more just kind of a little side note here. Because we read that command of not giving up, don't stop, keep doing that harvesting. And it just occurred to me there are sometimes we say, we have to move on. And those are, I would say, the exception and not the rule. Jesus talked about with when he sent out the 70 and they weren't, if you weren't accepted by the people, you're supposed to shake the dust from your feet and leave. Is that so is there a time when we quit or we give up on something? Yes, but I want to encourage you to keep at things and not give up, but accept if the Lord gives a clear direction, a very clear direction. This past year, Trish and I were involved with a ministry outside of our church, outside of this church. And just over time, God has been leading us, saying, you need to lay that one aside now. And it was kind of hard. I felt badly about it. But it's not that we violated that command. We gave up. It's like, there was a leading of the Lord there. And so those are what he's saying is don't give up when you're waiting for harvest. Don't give up. Just keep at it because harvest comes. What is it? What is it? Asparagus? It takes like 3 years. You plant it until you get it. Yeah. Just keep waiting for that asparagus. God will bring harvest. You say, don't quit because you're frustrated with the lack of harvest. That's I think that's where I want to land with that. Lots of application here for, first of all, getting back to gently correcting a brother or sister. Maybe God's put someone in your heart. But only do so if you could do it gently and with humility. Maybe God is wanting you to teach others in a certain way, and there is an honor there for teaching people from the Word. Or perhaps you're saying, you know what? I've been sowing this deed of the flesh instead of the fruit of the Spirit, and I want to confess and change that with the Lord today. That's wonderful. Instead, say, I want to sow one of these fruits of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit itself. And reap it. You will. I don't know what it's going to look like. But if you reap what you sow, you're going to reap. A few things we could pray about today. First of all, maybe just saying, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your fruit when I walk with you. It's not because we're good. This is His fruit. It's kind of like the spiritual armor, put on the armor of God. That means it's God's armor. This is the Spirit's fruit. Oh, you're such a nice person. No, the Holy Spirit is. Watch what He does. Just thank Him for that. What a blessing that He gives us this wonderful seed that we could sow. Help me, the next is, help me watch out for my brother or sister without pride or blindness to my own weaknesses. And then finally, as we just said a moment ago, I pray that I could sow, you fill in that blank, so that I may reap, same blank, same word. Let's pray together, all right? Pray out loud as you like.
Go to your word, spend time with find that bring fruit. God, I thank you that it's not what I can muster up, but God, Holy Spirit, that you are inside me, you are changing me from the inside out, and more that that fruit would grow as I spend time with you, as I abide in you, as I keep close to you, that you will bear fruit. And God, I pray that you'd help me be humble, Lord. If and when a brother or sister comes to me, that God, you would have me with a heart that is willing to receive because they love me and they care for me. That God, I would walk and resemble you more fully. By your grace and your mercy, you have healed me, you have changed me, and God, I don't have a way to boast, and so God, yeah, not to be judgmental with others, but God, to come aside and love.
Lord, remind me that I'm not all that.
Tree to fall, or the rain to stop so I can do something outside, or being impatient about somebody at work not getting their work done so I can do my work. And you're showing me now that those things don't matter. I can be patient. I can wait.
God, I do pray that you would help me evaluate my seeds.
God, we thank you for this journey through this letter. And we don't want to be plastic, phony Christians, just rule followers, but walk in the Spirit. Your fruit becomes clear. And as it becomes clear, Lord, as we start to see, as those things are coming out, we give you the praise and glory. We're going to sing that in a little bit here, that we would glorify you. And as we saw earlier in this letter, we are sons and daughters of the King. We're chip off the block. And we give you all the credit for that. Whenever we are experiencing, feeling, expressing the fruit of the Spirit, it is you. And what a relief. What a relief that we don't have to try to conjure up the power to do these things on ourselves. But Lord, we want to sow you in our lives and hearts. And the journey is going to be forever. The journey is going to be, or at least for our lives. But you will cause it to end one day, and we'll be like you. Not all-powerful gods, but we will be like you, made in your image as we are created to be, without the tainting and tarnish of sin. Oh, we look forward to that. God, we pray for this for our church. We pray that we would be that kind of church, that kind of groups of people, that when they meet us here on Sunday or out there in the world, we just say, behold how they love God and how they love one another. And it's real and authentic. So God, we thank you for that. And as we pray also, God, according to the song we just sang, that I'll be yours for all my life. Oh, Lord, thank you again for this letter, for the encouragement. I'm kind of sad that next week we're going to finish it. But we are grateful for your work in our lives and hearts to be like Jesus in this wonderful fruit of the Spirit. In your name, amen. Thank you, my friends. As the worship team comes up, I do have a few announcements for you. Next week, we're going to decorate for Christmas. Woo-hoo. Well, I'm glad you're excited because I. Yay. But I have good news. We have a new tree. Because our old tree stunk. Our old tree was like. We don't have to worry about the tree's feelings, honey. It was just a tree. It stunk. It was awful. It was a pain in the neck. It dropped its little phony needles everywhere. So hopefully our new tree will be a nicer tree that we'll appreciate and like. But we did get it. It's arriving. It's going to be here next week. But as always, many hands make light work. And so if you can stay around next Sunday. I'll need to leave about 1:15 or so, but hopefully we can be done by then. So just getting things set up, making it nice and Christmassy, we would really appreciate your help. So next week is when we plan to do that. The other announcement, and we don't have a lot of details for you yet, but ladies, January 24th, you're busy, all right? So just 9 to 3, we know that much. Yeah. Okay, so there's some plans in the works for you, ladies. Be here. You don't even have to drive far away. And so just asking you to mark that day right now. We'll give you more details later on. The last thing I wanted to mention is thanking you as well for the food donations. I'm hoping to get those to the food bank this week. It's just, you know, it's a short week. We got Thanksgiving and everything coming up, but we hopefully be able to get that to the bank as well. And they wanted me to extend their thanks to you as well for the things you brought in for our families and our community. Restocking after the government shut down and everything was a big need. And so between our church and the other churches in our community, they've got a good shot in the arm for that. So thank you. All right.